Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, do you know your carrageen moss from your dulse or your sea lettuce from your bladder rack? I am talking about seaweeds, of course, and the seas around Ireland are alive with many different sea plants we could and we should be using in a variety of ways. So if you want to forage seaweed, how do you begin and what should you look out for? To tell us more, I am joined in studio by author and GP Dr. Prani Ratigan, who is the owner of IrishSeaweedKitchen.ie. Prani, it's fabulous to have you here, and it's fabulous that you brought all these lovely, delicious seaweeds and breads and all sorts of things for me to taste.
Oh, thank you, Maura, and it's an absolute pleasure to be here. Lovely to see you again.
It's great to see you all the way from Cundé Sligach. You came down from Sligo to us.
I did, and brought the seaweeds with me.
Brilliant.
The basket here for you to have a wee look at and a few little bits and pieces that I made.
Now, Prani, before we get into talking about the seaweed, last week we had a panel on ageing. Dr. Roseanne Kenny talked about the benefits of sea swimming. And I know you're a big sea swimmer yourself. And for people listening, now, I have a sister like you. She swims every day, but I am just can't be dealing with the cold water. How do I get over that? And how good for it, how good for you is sea swimming?
Yes, that was a fantastic program last week. Or this week, wasn't it? Or last week.
Last week. Confused. Last week, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And she, whether it's a cold shower or whether it's the sea. And I suppose I was always a sea swimmer from May until school would start in September, or later we'd go into Halloween. And then about 10 years ago, I decided that every year I would give myself a challenge, that I would get outside my comfort zone with something every year, something really, really scary.
Right.
So like you, being a very cold creature,
yes,
once the winter would come, I didn't know how to do winter swimming.
Right.
And I just thought, this is going to be my year for it. So we actually had a group, and one of the people in the group became our mentor. Sadly, he had motor neuron disease, Peter Devlin. And one day I met him on the beach and I said, Peter, how do you do it? How do you go in there and swim with the snow on Benbulbin and the frost on the grass? And he said, what I do is I walk down to the water, I throw up my hands and I shout, I'm alive. And then I just get in.
Yeah.
And I said, that'll do me, Peter. I think I'm going to try that this winter.
And you did.
So that's what we did. And it's almost like our salute. I started with one other girl at 7:30 in the morning. And then more people joined us at the 7:30. Now, there always would be a group going at maybe 9 or lunchtime or whatever. But we just got that morning. So we became the Dawn Patrol.
I love it. The Dawn Patrol.
The Dawn Patrol. And it just went from there. And I suppose another trick that I would give you, Maura, is there's a cardiovascular surgeon in Switzerland who has signs when you're walking through the Alps in the summer. And he suggests that you take off your shoes and socks and you step into a very cold stream and you march for the count of 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah, Swiss would say that.
The cardiovascular boost. And I suppose that was another trick. I thought, well, do you know, if I don't even get down, I'm going to throw up my hands. I'm going to shout I'm alive. I'm going to put some water on the back of my neck to let my brain know I'm going to get cold. And I'm going to bless myself just in case. And then in.
In you go. But you know what's interesting, Prani, as well,
yes,
is that you can actually maybe just stand in the water, maybe just to get over that fear, because
absolutely,
water contains so many minerals that are so wonderful. Iodine, a plethora of minerals that are good for our bodies. And that brings us then to seaweed, which we're surrounded by. I suppose we don't know a lot about seaweed, some of us. I mean, seaweed is on our shores and it's everywhere, but we don't know kind of the carrageen moss from the other sea lettuces and all that. How did you start getting into seaweed? Because you're actually a medical doctor.
Yes, I'm a medical doctor, but I was fortunate in that my father, who was also a medic, he grew up using seaweeds and he knew the value of seaweeds on the shore. So when we were small children looking out of the pram, my parents were harvesting, bringing the seaweeds home, cooking up some great dishes, which is what led me to doing that first book. And we enjoyed them as kids. And I suppose now when I look back, we were unusual. other people would have liked to have something, but there was that little bit of a, you know, of a kind of a stigma. Well, white bread was in and, you know, there were nice things in the shops and why would you have to go to the shore to get things?
Yeah, but so, it's funny actually because, yeah. I mean, I would have grown up similarly to you that we would have used seaweeds medicinally. I mean, we would have used carrageen for coughs and colds, and my mother used to make it into a jelly, carrageen jelly, and strain it through muslin. And then she used to make us eat it, but she used to put maybe a little bit of vanilla and stuff in it. We didn't want it, to be honest. I'll have to be honest about it, eat it, but it was very good. And if you did take that carrageen jelly, it really helped lift phlegm off your chest. So there are antiviral properties in seaweeds.
There are. And your mother was absolutely right. And these antiviral properties have now been proven scientifically. So, and that it shifts the phlegm from the chest. Exactly. So we should really be, you know, extolling the benefits of particularly the carrageen moss. And I agree with you. We had to eat the blancmange too. My mother used to put raisins in it.
Blancmange. Well, you had a posher version than the carrageen moss. Like, what?
It was a pudding. But again, like you, we kind of ate it and, you know, yeah, suffered.
But it worked.
Bit.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Pranny, let's, I suppose, demystify seaweed for everyone. I believe there are 600 types of seaweeds in Ireland, and we're going to classify them into reds, greens and browns.
Yes, and I have them here in the basket, which of course your listeners can't see, but the green is so vibrant. It's the sea lettuce and seagrass. It's so green.
Pass
you
me
couldn't
over a tiny
miss
bit of
it.
That.
I will indeed. And you, it's quite pungent. It's like a heritage lettuce.
Okay.
And it's
It looks like lettuce.
And
wet
it's like,
and squishy.
Yes, and it is like the old heritage lettuces.
Okay, I'm eating this now, just raw.
Okay, so I'll talk on. Then we have our reds.
Salty.
Here.
Mm.
Salty. And that kind of kick off it. The interesting about that sea lettuce is you can make it into a fabulous pesto. And also, it's full, all of them are powerhouses of nutrients.
Now, this is full of, this is green. So does that mean that's got like chlorophyll and that type of thing in it?
Yes, it does have chlorophyll, and which is an antioxidant.
So like a super green.
Yes, it is. And it's, I suppose, one of these things that's so versatile in a salad. And it also, most unusually, apart from having minerals, vitamins and trace elements in abundance, I mean, they're described, all of them are described as powerhouses of nutrients. This one actually has a B12 on it, and it's not in it. It's on the microbiome. So the bacteria that are on this have B12. Isn't that so intriguing?
And now everybody is talking about the microbiome and how important our gut is and how it's our second brain and all that. So this
yes.
would be very, very good
very
for
important.
Our immunity.
Very. Now, people will say that it's an analog, that it's not absorbed by the body. But I know people who have done really well with needing B12. Not to say, I mean, obviously, being a medical doctor, I have to say we use these as foods and let food be our medicine.
But Pranny, on that, isn't it always better to try and get our vitamins from our foods?
Oh, totally agree. And with these as well, they are prebiotics. So they have the soluble and the insoluble fibres. So they feed the good bacteria that are in the gut. So they've, as I say, they're powerhouse of nutrients. They've been described as the most nutritious form of vegetation on the planet.
Pranny, your first book was The Irish Sea Seaweed Kitchen, and in that
yes.
you have loads of recipes and how to utilise seaweed in our meals, in baking bread. You have lovely kind of porridge bread or oat bread here,
yes.
even in butter. What is this I'm holding in front of me?
That's it, my seaweed blend made into a pesto, just by adding a really good olive oil, and have it with a little cracker. There's a cracker there
and
on the plate beside
now?
You. Just 8 different seaweeds, a mixture of reds, greens and browns, really good olive oil and a hint of garlic. Mm. And it's like having a magic wand in the kitchen because you can dab it onto anything.
Okay.
I tend to take it on a cracker.
I have a bit of an
bit of an energizer. Or you can put it in salad, you can put it on pesto.
It's fabulous.
It's gorgeous. I have on it Make Health Addictive. Because
you
could become addicted.
But you know
addicted
what? Addicted to
it.
The right things. Pranny, there's different, as you said, there's a different blend of seaweeds here. So we talked about the green, the sea lettuce. Let's talk
yes.
about the others, the reds and the browns.
This is your old favourite that your mother would be so delighted to see us handling here, the beautiful carrageen moss, Condus crispus. Another very familiar one to you, I'm sure, and to your researcher, Rachel, who's from Cushendal, which is up there in Antrim. And of course, they have the Aulamas Fair with the dulse, or we would call it dulse.
Would
the
I call that Cranach?
You would call that Cranach with the julicons in it, the actual little black mussels. That's crannog from the Aran Islands. You have great stuff out there.
Okay, so for us now, crannog. So can I have that?
I'll pass you over a bit of that, and I have some dried beside
like
you there.
Granny is sparing the seaweed here. She's only giving me a little bit.
Beside you, you have it dried.
I have a camera
if you want
here. Maybe somebody can see this. So
comparison.
Here we have. So this is crannog.
Yeah,
this is the obviously it's not dried. So I would take this at home. We'd dry it out on the wall.
Yeah,
in the
like the bit that's on your plate there, dried already, okay. Beside the walnut. So when it's dried,
this is it.
That's it. When it's dried and combined with the walnut, it gives you and chewed, it gives you that amazing umami.
Okay,
flavor.
So I'm going to wrap it around.
Wrap
the walnut.
It around at the walnut and pop it into your mouth and just let it moisten. I better keep talking because you'll need to be chewing there for a little while. So I'll tell you about the other red seaweed. So there are two red seaweeds: the dulse or the dullusk, the carrageen moss, and a little truffle seaweed here that you're going to have as a sweet treat at the end with a little sweet truffle. They're like power balls, really.
Just for people listening, just who haven't tasted crannog or dulsk or dillisk, it's lovely and salty. Now, I'm just, as somebody who eats this a lot, for me, this gives me a natural high. This, for me, is like green kind of matcha tea. It gives me a high. And I get
brilliant energy
from this. Oh, do you find that?
Oh, I love the seaweeds. They're powerhouses of nutrients. So you just feel good with all of that. Mm. You know, with all of that. I mean, if you think about it, you've got your macro minerals in there, like your calciums, your iodines. You've got your so important micro minerals like your zinc and your selenium. You know, very important to our health.
Prani, as a medical doctor, though, one of the main things that we are missing now is our trace elements, our minerals, because of the soil is overused and there is so much kind of fake fertilizers going in. As a doctor, do you see people that are lacking in minerals even more than vitamins these days? So seaweed could be a great way of getting those back.
Definitely.
Into us.
And you don't even need all that much of it. As little as 5 grams a day is all you need. Less is more when it comes to seaweeds. And they've been described as having 10 times more the mineral and trace element content of the land plants, which is very important to know.
Prani, why is it that we don't use seaweeds? I mean, if you look at Japan and, you know, we're all into sushi now and going down and buying all these, you know, fancy foods and eating them. And of course, nori and all those different seaweeds that we have in abundance on our shores.
Yes,
that
in
is what
abundance.
They use in Japan and all these other countries. Why have we not eaten seaweed all along?
I don't know. They're way ahead of us, the Asian countries. They really are. They value it. I was giving a course the other day and a gentleman jumped up from Korea and he said that when his wife had a baby, that in the hospital, she was given 3 meals of seaweed after postpartum. She had to have this specific seaweed. That was one of our kelps. And we have it in abundance, as you say, around our shores. And we don't value it. We don't know about it, I think. Mm. I don't know.
Are we a bit afraid of foraging? And we'll talk about that in a second. But the texts are flying in here. 51551, if you have a question for Dr. Prani Ratigan about seaweed, about health in general. She's here in front of me now. We can capture her for all that. Can I read a few texts to you, Prani, what people are asking
please.
Here? Hi, Maura. Love the show. Thank you very much. Can you ask about using seaweed if you have an underactive thyroid?
Oh, yes. A very, very good question. So seaweeds, many of them are very high in iodine and you don't need that blast of iodine if you've got an underactive thyroid. The one that you've mentioned already, the nori or the schlauch, as we call it.
Schlauchon, we call it.
Yeah. That one has the lowest amount of iodine. So if you want to eat seaweeds, that's the safest for you.
With nori.
Yes, it is.
Have you got that?
No, it's out of season at the moment.
Okay. Yeah.
It's out of season. It's very bedraggled on the shore at the moment. But you see it after the first frosts after Christmas. It's black and it's moulded onto the rocks and it's full of protein, but not high in iodine. Very, very low. I suppose one of the other things that if you do want to have some of the big kelps that I have here in the basket and you want to actually use them, you need to actually blanch them. And then soak them and blanch them. And
blanch them in hot and boiling water.
Yes, and get. Now you lose other minerals as well. But once you get that excess iodine out, then you can enjoy the seaweeds with a thyroid that's not behaving.
That is very interesting, actually, to tell people that as well. Because if you have thyroid problems, let's go to another text here. We give their mother, says Bridget McDade, carrageen with jelly and cream every day, and she loves it. She is in her 99th year. It helps keep her healthy and happy. Maura, great to hear the discussion on carrageen moss. My mother used to make it blancmange. Well, you were like Franny, posh compared to me, the old carrageen down the saucepan with carrageen moss flavoured with lemon. It was delicious. That's from Mary Nolan in Tipperary. Really, really delicious. Good, actually, when you think about carrageen moss. But on that again, so you can overdo it when it comes to the iodine. So that's really important. But what you about can. The rest of us who don't have thyroid issues? Iodine is important. Tell us about the importance of iodine in our diet.
We don't have enough, and we're actually an iodine deficient country. And I suppose that's where we do have to be careful, that when you're iodine deficient, that you don't suddenly get a blast of iodine from the seaweeds. And as you say, going back to why where we don't use it, maybe we're just not educated enough to be able to know which ones to take and which ones to get the benefit from.
Well, Prani, if we follow your lead on this, because I was at home last week and I was with my sister Barbara, and I had in my paw the guide to edible seaweeds, which you have, which I love. It's like a little flip chart.
Yes,
a teeny
it
little
is.
Thing. And it's waterproof.
Splash proof.
So you've got the photos of every single seaweed here, and then beside it you have got all the info. But what I loved, and I didn't realise until the other day, is you've got a little QR code.
I know.
And you just have to hold your phone up to the QR code, and it goes naturally to a video of you on the shoreline showing the seaweed, talking about the seaweed, and also showing us how to actually cut the seaweed, because you don't just pull it.
No. That's so important. And thank you for saying that. Going to the shore with a sharp knife or a sharp scissors and giving the seaweeds a haircut is so important. And that little guide has been copied in the Nordic countries, out in Australia, in the States. It's so good. Because I'm all about education. Mm. I mean, I'm not precious about this. It's all about getting the message out there that it's our heritage. This is our heritage, to be able to go to the shore and to know what to do and to be able to give the seaweeds a little haircut, take the seaweeds back and have them in your food. You, your neighbours, have this multivitamin, multi-mineral boost, boosting your microbiome, getting in all those compounds that are just so important for the body, for healing, for boosting the immune system. You're going to tackle another little bit.
Well, I'd love to tackle it, but I'm going to spare it. Spare it, as I say to my child, spare it. I'm wondering, though, about, you know, people listening as well, how much should you consume or do you need to consume to get those minerals? Just a little bit like this,
yes,
maybe a day.
Yes. Oh, that would be just adequate.
Not even a handful.
I say take small amounts of a wide variety. And that goes for herbs as well. Mm. It's that Okinawan approach where they don't sit down to a meal until they have five colours on the plate. So they will look around and see, if I'm missing green, I'll snip a bit of parsley or a little bit of coriander or basil or something. If I'm missing black, I'll add in a little bit of seaweed, I'll add a black olive. And they have that wide range, and they just have such a balanced approach to it. They don't have large amounts of food that are similar colours. They have that little bit of red, the green, the yellow, and so on. It's a great approach.
I
love it.
And that's why they live so long. And I suppose when you watch programs like The Blue Planet, you see Okinawans and Sardinians and people from these countries that live well into their 80s and work into their 80s, but live until they're 100 and beyond, actually adapt that. They're fit, they're healthy, and they don't overeat. But no, they get that wide-ranging nutrition. Lots more texts coming in here. Where can I get these seaweeds, Maura? I'm in the Midlands.
Oh, maybe a little trip to the shore, or else find out who your local nearest harvester is and support your local harvester. Just do a little Google. I mean, people sell, you know, these online. I mean, I sell it online myself, that seaweed, the little seaweed, dried seaweed blend, and people can make their own pesto.
Yeah.
But support your local harvester. If you're in Cork, fantastic harvesters down there, Galway, and so on.
Or a health shop, maybe, you can do the
a
dried
health shop,
seaweed.
Of course, you'll be able to get it. Try and buy Irish.
Yeah, of course, of course. Yeah, well, of course, so close to us and all that. Because to be honest, they don't last that long. I know dried is different, but if you can get seaweed that's freshly harvested or just packaged up, use it then. Prani, On the whole issue of seaweeds, a lot of people, of course, are lucky to live in unpolluted areas, but a lot of us live in cities. How important is it? And there is a text in on this. Are seaweeds still safe to eat given the pollution of our seas? Or how do you know where to pick it?
Yes, a great question. It's so important not to go and harvest near the mouth of an open river because most of the pollution comes off the land. So check with your local county council. They sample the water all the time and find an area, a rocky shore that's clean. And that information will be there. And I suppose mind yourself as well while you're doing it. Make sure that you're following the tide out and that you're not going to put yourself in any danger and don't disturb anything. It's all about sustainable. It's all about working with the environment and honouring our heritage.
Liam Lavery got in touch here and he says, even though the sea and the seaweed, of course, has many benefits, I'm wondering about the growing problem of microplastics in the sea and the presence on seaweeds. Are we consuming them when we eat seaweed?
I suppose we are. And that brings me to an event that we're having in September, which is a climate change event to try and educate people about all of this, how to really mind the seas, how to, you know, protect our dunes, how to look out for litter, how to do a 2-minute cleanup. We're having that in that weekend of the 20th, 21st of September, the equinox. It's part of another a festival that we have every year, which is, will I tell you a little bit about
it? No, do, absolutely.
Yeah, it's Spanish Armada Ireland, because the beach that I harvest my seaweeds on, three ships went down there in 1588. And we commemorate that every year with the Spanish people, Spanish ambassador, and a vessel comes from Spain. And as part of that, this year and last year, we have this climate change event, which actually allows people to hear about how to recycle properly and how to compost properly and how to, you know, I make mistakes all the time. I'm always glad to hear that you can put this in now where you couldn't put that in before and so on.
So it's a world of it, and you're talking about seaweed too. Can I just get back to some of the lovely things you've cooked here for us today? Utilising seaweed in bread. I see that there's some lovely porridge bread in front of me here. Is that the dried powdered seaweed you put in?
Yes, just that mix, the blend. And it's just oats and eggs and yogurt and the seaweed. And I just put in some pumpkin seeds. What do you think?
It's lovely.
It's
so delicious.
Yeah,
but could I put
regular
seaweed in it?
Of course you can. You can put whatever you want. That was only just, I mean, in the book, there are loads of recipes. And online, I have loads of recipes on my website. And that goes with that little bit of seaweed butter there as well.
If
you want to taste a little bit of that.
And it's what's in this, Pranny?
So it's just, again, it's a mix of the reds and greens and browns, but you could just put in your Schlaukan. That makes a lovely black butter that you would really love, because you've great stuff out there on the island. Yeah,
yeah, we do.
Yeah, oh, really lovely stuff. I did my medical attachment in Final Med with the GP out there, Marion Broderick.
Oh, Marion, an icon. Marion Broderick retired. She gave her whole life, actually, from a very young woman. She spent her whole life and, you know, being wonderful GP on the islands, to the three Aran Islands. And she's a wonderful woman. And of course, she's still there. She steps in, I think, now and again. And I mean, Marion not only took care of us humans on the island, but she actually went when cattle and sheep and all that got in trouble giving birth.
That's right.
She delivered calves as well as the rest of us.
She did. Amazing. And hello to Marion this morning on the island.
A big hello to Marion on the island this morning. Pranny, I am surrounded by all of your great books as well. I know you've got even a Christmas cookbook, the Irish Seaweed Christmas Kitchen as well. Tell us where people can go, because I know we're going to have a plethora of texts and all this coming into us now, wondering how to get in touch with you.
Oh, well, it's just the website, irishseaweedkitchen.ie, and all the information is there. And I'll have, I suppose, a few more walks in the summer. My daughter started to help me with the walk. She's only 11, but she does rock pool rambles.
Great.
So when people come along, families come along, she'll take the children and she'll bring the shrimp nets and she'll, they'll have so much fun. I mean, you know, the joy of looking into a rock pool.
It's
just
lovely.
Like a piece of art.
It is. It totally
is.
And you know what's great as well, if you're starting just on the seaweed journey, we talked about sea lettuce. Instead of going out and, you know, we want everyone to be safe out there and tidal areas are very dangerous. But you can start even, can't you, by picking or cutting a little bit of the sea lettuce, and that's close to the shore and the rock pools.
It is. And the bladder rack is also close. Fucus vesiculosus, the bladder rack. And it's so health-giving. And if you take a little snip of that, you can actually drop it into a stew or anything that you're making, and it'll give it a beefy flavour. It's so versatile. The seaweeds are so different and so versatile. You know, one of our professors in Galway, now retired, Professor Mike Gyrie, he says that the reds and the greens and the browns are as different to each other as we humans are to a bird. Because the compounds that are in them are so different, and they're all being researched by various researchers all over the world. Isn't that quite amazing?
It is quite amazing. Do you see, as a medical doctor, that in the future we're going to utilise seaweeds a lot more when it comes to medicine?
Oh, we will, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I really look forward to the day where seaweeds will be used as anti-cancer, you know, anti-tumour, anti-inflammation in the body, treating hypertension. They do this in Japan. The doctors don't prescribe, but they recommend that people would take specific seaweeds in little jelly blocks. And yeah, so interesting. People can Google it and find that out for themselves. But we have to be obviously careful here and say it's a food and it will have benefits to your body that will boost your immune system. Mm. And it tastes so good.
It does.
And it's low in calories. So it's like, what not to love about it?
The perfect diet. Also, I think seaweed products in when it comes to creams for our face and for our bodies and all that are really good as well.
They're really good. And of course, Sligo is a little bit of a mecca for seaweeds between the baths and so on. In fact, we're having a food festival that same weekend. It's like a collision of the stars with, and that weekend in September, it's a Sligo Food Festival, and I'm kicking off the festival at 12 o'clock on the Saturday. That's how valued seaweed is.
Great.
And we're also having a big seaweed tapas fiesta, so that's where we're asking Spanish people to send in their best recipes.
Amazing.
So much fun.
Prani, you are a national treasure, says Odie in Sligo. Ask her about her green seaweed smoothie. Is that in the book, by the way, your green seaweed? Okay, it's in the book. It is in the book.
Hello to Odie.
Hello to Odie. Yes, Prani, that's wonderful. Great to hear talking about wonderful seaweeds. How do we know if the seaweeds are safe to be foraged? Well, Prani addressed that. Make sure it's not an area of pollution or near the mouth of a river, which is really important. But pop on to Prani's website and you will see all that. And she's got great books, I have to say. Prani, it's great to have you with us in studio. It's been a long time, but let us reclaim our shores. Let us go back to what our forefathers and foremothers did and actually get back eating seaweed again. A pleasure, Prani. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Maura.
Let's take a little break.
Email oliver@rte.ie.